Man. Every time I hear respect, I think of Aretha Franklin. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Sometimes that old classic music pops up every once in a while. So, amen. Well, tonight I want to talk about being not deceived. And we are a lot of, have you ever noticed there's a lot of crazy stuff on TV lately? We're kind of getting to this season where, how many are ready for the political ads to be over? Is it just me? Yeah. And it's like, you know, I'm just all of it. I'm like, please, Jesus, just take me home now. All this crazy stuff going on, but let's not be deceived. Amen. And as Christians, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. 6:20. You know, as we're going into, you know, we're going to election time, and again, just being not deceived as far as, how can I say, we'll read the scripture and we'll dive into it, but 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You know, the Apostle Paul, and I don't have time tonight to dig through all of the scriptures, but the Apostle Paul talks about that we are, he is a slave under Christ. We are, I am not my own anymore. And it's amazing how many Christians I hear saying things like, well, I don't believe this, or I don't do, or I'm going to vote for this, or I'm going to do this. And I understand that sometimes we're talking about I, but I want to challenge you tonight to go, what does the Word say in everything that we do? What does the Word say about some of these things? And say, you know what? What am I going to do? Just my whole viewpoint of politics, right? Do I have a biblical stance on the way that I view things? You know, it's interesting because, you know, years ago, I was, Adrian and I hadn't been married very long. Well, we were married for quite a while. Before we went to Bible college, well, the second Bible college, we had a Bible college in our church. But it was interesting because the Lord was speaking to me about going to Bible college, and I had no interest in going to Bible college at all. I was like, ugh, I don't want to do this, and by the way, Lord, I don't want to do this. And so, you know, his response to me was, I don't care. Right? Not interested in your opinion. And you know, the interesting thing is he's interested in us, but he, like Mr. Gary was talking about, respect, obedience. He expects that from us. I'm sure glad Jesus didn't go when he's going to the cross and say, oh man, and when he's in Garden of Gethsemane, he says, hey, if this cup can pass from me, it's like, Father, if there's another way, but you know what? He was obedient to the cross, just like the Apostle Paul says that he was obedient to the cross. But we see here, it says, for we are bought with a price. The Apostle Paul does such a great job throughout the scripture talking about we are no longer our own anymore. We are bought with a price. And how many Christians have an opinion about things? Now, again, whether you want a red car or a blue car, or, you know, what kind of car you drive, I mean, you know, the Bible talks about he wants to give us the desires of our heart. So there are things in us that the Lord wants to please us. He wants to bless us with. And in heaven, you know what? There's going to be a lot of things that he's going to bless us with. But as far as our heart with him, we want to be obedient. And also, not only obedient, but our heart. You ever heard that little kid when he was talking to the teacher and she told him to sit down? And he says, no, I want to stand up. And she goes, no, you want to sit down. So he sat down, and he was grumpy. And the teacher asked him what was wrong. And he says, well, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside, right? I'm doing what you tell me to do, but I don't like it. I mean, as a kid, I did that a lot, right? I mean, I was kind of rambunctious, and I was a really little kid when I was younger. But Romans chapter 1, verse 28. Romans 1, 28. So again, let's dive into the scriptures. Let's find things. Let's say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What which direction do I need to go? Where do I need, what do I need to do in this? But Romans chapter 1, verse 28, and I don't want us to be these people, right? You ever see those like on TV and stuff, if somebody gets in a wreck or they do something silly, like those fail videos and stuff, and people just do dumb things and they do things. You look at it and you're like, I don't want to be that guy, right? I don't want to be that gal. Guess what? You don't want to be this person in Romans chapter 1, verse 28. And what this is I see a lot of people out there, I see a lot of people in the world, but I also see a lot of Christians in this state too, where we can get deceived so much. Romans chapter 1, verse 28, and as we're talking about tonight, we don't want to be deceived, but I'm going to read out of the King James. I'm sorry, everybody, okay? But I have some other translations I'm going to read later, so just stay with me. Romans chapter 1, verse 28, and this is talking about, again, people who are in sin, okay? They're in immoral lifestyles, but I don't believe this is just to immoral lifestyles. This can be a lot of different things. We're going to look at some other scriptures here. But it says in verse 28, and they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. What does that mean? It's like they didn't care what God thought. They didn't care what he thought. How many people out there now do not care what God thinks? And really, the whole premise of the Satanic Bible is just do what you want to do. Right? I mean, it's just do whatever you feel like doing. Man, if I live my life just doing what I wanted to do, oh my goodness, right? I'd never get out of bed, go to work. I would never, right? Kids? I don't need to feed them, right? Clothes? I don't want to spend money on that. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. What did Jesus say the greatest commandment was? Love. And what is love? Looking out for other people. Inconveniencing yourself. We just don't want to be inconvenienced. A lot of people just don't want to be inconvenienced nowadays. But verse 28 says again, and even they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And where we go, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Reprobate mind means void of judgment. You know, we can get to a place where we're so off in our thinking that we do not have the ability to decipher right and wrong. Yeah. And God just gives them up. Like, you know, you're just so out of control, I'm just letting you go. Just a few people on TV, right? There's just a few people out there like that. They are so reprobate that they don't have the ability to decide what's right and wrong. You know, the interesting thing was on TV, what was right and wrong 20 years ago, 30 years ago? See, that would have been 5, right? I grew up in the 70s and then the 80s. And back then, things were a lot different than they are now, right? And what happens is it's kind of like a frog. This place in lukewarm water, over time, it's just going to, heat's going to turn up, that heat's going to turn up, and then all of a sudden, oops, it's too late. Yeah. And that's where we've been. Well, for a long time. I mean, it's been coming for a long time. Let's read on here. And it says, verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. You know, they're just people out there that they just think of just crazy, just evil stuff to do to people. That's disturbing. Disobedience to parents. You should hear, I mean, to me, you know, when I was growing up in school, the worst thing you get in just a, like, you know, another scuffle with another kid at school, you know. I mean, that was the biggest thing, you know. It was like after school or you know, during recess, you just get in a little bit pow, pow, pow session, and then that was over, right? And when we got teachers in here, we got some people to talk, I used to teach years ago, but the disrespect level is just off the charts now, right? And we're just seeing things, and it's almost, you know, and it's scary because what the problem is with this, the disrespect, it permeates everything else in a child's life. And then what happens is then they become a big monster, right? Then they're out of control. I was telling my girls, hey, that's okay, you don't have to do it, but someday you're going to have to answer to a police officer if this gets too out of control. Meaning this, if you want to do your own thing, you're going to have to deal with, the police department. You know. And when I was younger, I had a few incidents with the police, and they're not real friendly. I never went to jail, okay? I never did time or anything like that, but you know, when you do squirrely things and you just do crazy stuff, you run into the police and everything, and they get kind of grumpy, right? So the point is this, that without understanding covenant breakers, right? Covenant breakers, well, it just doesn't matter. We get into a situation where we're committed. We can always get out of it, right? I'll just hire an attorney. We'll just get out of it. We don't have to, you know, be true to our word. Without natural affection, unmerciful. Here we go, verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. You know, I always like everything, everybody talking about how, you know, you ever hear those things like, well, we miss these scriptures. You know, oh, we know God's love. And he is love. He is love. And, you know, the God is very selective on who lets it happen, right? Heaven has gates, heaven has walls. Hell doesn't. That should tell you something, right? That there are certain criteria, obviously being born again, to get into heaven. The devil doesn't care. He'll take anybody, right? It doesn't matter. You just live any way you want to. He'll, you know, it's wide open. And the Bible talks about narrow is the way to righteousness. Wide is the path to destruction. So we see here Genesis chapter 3. Let's start there. Let's talk about the devil thrives on playing on your emotions. Number one. Look at TV, look at everything. Everything is about playing on your emotions. Jesus never, ever, now I just say walking with God, we can definitely, you know, well, there's joy. We can see in Galatians, the fifth chapter, we see the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness. All of those things we can experience when we're walking with God, right? But we don't make decisions based on our emotions. Now, sometimes, you know, I mean, cars, and you know, there are certain things, right? I mean, you know, that red sports car, and there's nothing wrong with having things, but I'm just saying, with life's decisions, we're not making emotional decisions often. When we're walking with God, we're being led by the Spirit. We're basing things off of His Word. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now, I know we're probably, most of us are familiar with this. We're not going to get through all this tonight, so we're going to pick up next week. But God specifically told Adam and Eve, don't eat from this tree, correct? You can have everything else, but don't eat of this tree, or you're going to die. Well, here comes the devil challenging that. And he did the same thing with Jesus, we're going to read here if we get to it tonight. He did the same thing. The devil's always basing, he's always, and the only thing he has to deal with is your flesh and your emotions. Your thinking. He attacks your thinking and he works on your emotions. That's why we're living in a world now where facts don't matter, righteousness doesn't matter. It's just everything is like this gaslighting. Where we're just saying things to try to manipulate people to get them, right? So if I don't agree with you, I'm going to call you a hater. I'm going to tell you these things rather than let's base things off of righteousness or the Bible or what does God say. We don't want that anymore. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any other beasts of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, hey, yeah. Has God said that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, well, we can eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, and neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, he didn't say that, did he? So she screwed that up, right? He didn't say you can't touch it. He didn't say you can't look at it. He said, just don't eat it. Yeah. So see, we're already mixing things up, aren't we? Right? Which is crazy. So she's only, you know, getting half right here, or a third of it. Then, so the serpent comes along, verse 4, and so the serpent said, well, you surely won't die, right? Now, he's challenging things, but let's go on here. It says, for God knows that in the days you eat this, then your eyes shall be opened, and you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. What's he saying? He's saying, it's not, you're not in a good enough state. You'll be in a better state. God doesn't want you to be in a better state, right? You deserve better. You deserve better. Guess what? Adam and Eve were already like God because they were made in his image and after his likeness. Hello? See, right then and there, they should have said, no, wait a minute. Okay, they should have, wait, pump the brakes. I'm a son and a daughter of God right there. I'm done. We're already made in God's image. Now, they're not deity, but the point is, we just see there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, so God made man in his own image, and in the image of God, he made him male and female, created he them. They were already in the image of God. There was nothing else for them to do. God had already positioned them with amazing ability, all of these things. They had all of these privileges, all these blessings, because they were the son and daughter of God, the Father. There was nothing else to achieve. Who wants to have their eyes open to evil? Who in the right mind? But I will say this, we've got it better than they do now because we can see what it's like, that evil, and we don't want anything to do with it. War, death, famine, all of these horrible things that came from sin and the fall, we can now sit back and we get on the other side, those of us who are born again, and we're over in glory with the Lord, we can say, whoa, because they have a different perspective. They started out perfect and then fell. We started fallen, became perfect because of Christ. Then he goes on. And again, verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, you will not die. Verse 5, for God, he knows that in the day that you eat it, that your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And then the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it pleased her in the eyes. So she saw it, and she was emotionally charged at that time. Now, there's nothing wrong with emotions, right? Because we see that God got angry. I'm just so glad that Moses and God didn't get on the same page on the same day in the Old Testament, right? God was ripped off one day. Moses was ripped off a week later. And all of a sudden, God, they didn't get together and just go, yeah, let's just kill them all. These Hebrews, let's get rid of them all, right? And I'll just, let's just do away with them, right? No. But we see here, because of the enemy's suggestion, what? He's not basing it off of the fact, but he's twisting the facts. And what's he doing? He's playing on emotions. And we see people every day. The only way they're going to get people to see it is to stir up emotions that are to create something that is false, right? Ever watch The Music Man, that show? That guy's a complete fraud in that movie. But you know what? He gets everybody all wound up and all hyper, and we're going to have a band, and we're going to do this, and he doesn't know one note from another note, does he? But what is he? He's basing it all off emotion. So there's like one scene, lady has two boys, and he goes, okay, repeat after me, sing this song. I like ice cream. I like ice cream. Oh, they just sound beautiful. They got so much talent. And they got, you know, so many things. But the problem is, he's a Pied Piper leading people with no ability, no talent, nothing. And he's just stirring up emotions. There's no promise, no. The devil is never there in this scenario. He's not going to take responsibility of things when they mess up. In fact, he reaped benefit from the disobedience here. So we see even from the time, the very first time that we see in Scripture, well, not the very first time, because the first time was when Lucifer rebelled against God. But we're talking about here on the earth that the very first time that he opens up his mouth, he is deceiving. So he's taking the truth and he's twisting it around, and he's also putting it on emotions to say, you deserve better. You're a victim, right? So there's one thing when people come and they say, you're a victim. I'm set free. The word says I'm set free. I'm joint heirs with Christ. Jesus on the right hand of the Father, I'm set free. We don't base our decisions in Christianity or in life on emotions. Base it on the Word. I'm so glad Jesus didn't base it off of emotions. The enemy is the master of altering language to deceive people. You ever notice that? We see that all that we hear that all the time, deceptive language. Deceptive language, deceptive language, deceptive language. Let's look at Luke chapter 9, verse 1. We'll go there. Luke chapter 9. And this is, we see the devil plays these tricks on Jesus, which goes horribly wrong for him. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 9. I want to go to Luke chapter 4. Excuse me, Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Now, this is when his cousin John the Baptist baptized him in the Jordan. He pops up out of there, and we see there that he is... Luke 3:22, after John baptized him in the Jordan, verse 26, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon Jesus. Now, from there, he's baptized in the Holy Spirit. He's got the Holy Spirit. He's empowered by the Holy Ghost. Luke 4:1 says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was what? Led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, interestingly enough, we always think the Holy Spirit is always going to lead us into Disneyland or Adventureland. Everything's going to be happy. Everything's going to be wonderful. It's just, you know, cupcakes and sprinkles all the time. You know, we're just, life is just going to be, you know, unicorns and rainbows everywhere we go because we're walking with God. But the Holy Spirit is leading him to the devil. Interesting, huh? Now, it's key here because he defeats the devil, right? Now, God is not bringing things on people, sickness is a disease, we know that, right? John 10:10, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you have life and more abundantly, right? So we see tons of scriptures, Acts 10:38, all these other things where God is delivering people. Sometimes God is going to lead us into uncomfortable situations that are going to go against our flesh. Many times I've been at street evangelism. You know, it's real fun having people, you know, be real nasty to you and stuff. Well, I don't feel comfortable here. This must not be God's will. Really? Luke 4:1 says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Verse 2, being 40 days tempted of the devil. Now, wait a minute. This doesn't sound like a God idea to me. I'm not happy. Oh, no, this doesn't make me happy. This doesn't tickle my flesh. But it was the will. It was his will. And in those days, he didn't eat. And they were hungered. And afterwards, he was hungry. And the devil said unto him, if, everybody say if. Yeah. If. So first of all, the devil is going to question whether or not, try to put doubt into and make him emotionally, because now Jesus has not been eating. He's physically, emotionally, I'm sure he's physically drained. He's been there. He hasn't been eating. His flesh is probably screaming. His emotions are screaming. Everything in his being is probably going bonkers. And the devil's come along going, yeah, well, if you're the Son of God, well, then command this stone to be made of bread. Again, always working on your emotions and your flesh, right? The devil always wants you to take the easy way out. Now, God is going to provide things for us, right? But not all the time is it always, the easy button is always the best way. And then what did Jesus say? And it is written. Interesting here is Jesus said, it is written. I love how he says it is written. Well, I don't feel this. Yeah, I'm feeling this way. Jesus doesn't even talk about his feelings at all. I mean, he doesn't even consider the feelings, right? What's he do? He goes right back to the word and he goes, well, it's written. Well, what does Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 say? The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing the soul and the spirit asunder, right? The word is going to defeat the enemy. You want to get him off your tail? Then start quoting the word. Start doing the word. The man shall not live by bread alone, but what? By every word of God. What is he saying here? I am not basing my decisions off of my flesh, but what my Father says. Keep going here. And the devil turned and he took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. And he says, the devil said unto him, all this power I'll give you and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whom I will give it. I will give it. He says, if you will just worship me, all will be yours. Now, he's partially right. Number one, he did have Adam and Eve gave the devil the authority, right, to the earth, because God gave that to Adam and Eve. But guess what? He's a liar because he's never going to give it to Jesus. Yeah, he has it, but Jesus knows it. If he does that, the devil is a liar. He's a liar from the beginning. And he's never gonna turn it over. So he has it, but he's not giving it up. And then what's Jesus say? What's he say here? He says, get behind me, Satan, for it is written. Oh, it's written again. Oh, I'm basing my decisions not off of emotions, right? Now think about, here we go. Here's another easy button. See, the first easy button was he could just turn the bread or the stones into bread and he could eat and it's all over and then he goes on his merry way. Nope. The second one now, he devil tries to throw him another bone. Oh, here's another easy way out. We'll go ahead and just kneel down to him. I don't have to go to the cross, and it's all over. Wrong. Get behind me, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then, verse 9, and then he took him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and he said, if you be the Son of God, again, if I'm questioning, and that's what the devil wants to do to all of us believers, if you're really saved, if you're really born again, if God really loves you, if you're good enough, he'll do these things. Always, 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 the devil is going to attack, as believers, your relationship with God. Because if he can get you severed, he can get you questioning God, if he can get you these same questions that he attacked Jesus with, you're going to be defeated. Then he goes on here and he says, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest anyone should dash a foot stone. Right? So what is he saying? He's trying to goad Jesus and say, well, you know what? If you really say who you are, then prove it. Do something now. Well, the interesting thing, too, was you ever notice Jesus said, I don't do or say anything that my Father doesn't do or tell me to do, right? So does Jesus get his instructions from the Father or from the devil? Last time I knew, he got his instructions and his commandments from the Father, not the devil, right? Then verse 12, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And it says, verse 13, then the devil entered his temptation and he departed. Here we go. for a season. What's that mean? Devil's coming back. And you know what? He always leaves when you stand up to him. So what do we see here? We see that we don't base our decisions off of emotions, off of an easy button all the time, off of what instant gratification. Rats do that. We're above that, right? Remember the college and undergraduate, it was always like, you know, Pavlov and, you know, all of this, what was it, the dog, you ring the bell and the dog salivates and all these things, right? We're all conditioned response. We don't have to live like that. It's called addiction. That's bondage. And we don't have to live like that. Let's I overstuffed the turkey tonight. Anybody love that? You got so much stuff. You're like, I don't know where to go next. We're kind of let's go to Exodus chapter 1, verse 15. Exodus 1, we'll close here. Exodus 1, 15. Exodus 1, 15. Now, this is obviously the Hebrews are getting very populated. The current Pharaoh does not know the ways of Joseph. And therefore, Pharaoh and the Egyptians get a little nervous because these Hebrews are starting to outnumber us and they could take us over. And I'm really, really scared here. And then they're deciding to, in verse 15, and the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of was Shapara, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when you do the office of the midwife to the Hebrew women, and you see on the stool if it's a son, I want you to kill him. The daughter, then you let her live. The interesting thing here enough is, but the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men, children alive. And I want to stop here for a moment, right? We're talking about abortion here. And these people feared God, and these midwives would not do it. Now, the interesting thing here is, even, you know, and these, the Pharaoh at that time, we're not talking about like nowadays where if you do something, they get a, you know, they can take you to court, and you go through this thing and everything else too. Back then, it's just, they just kill you, right? I mean, really, the Pharaoh could have just said, you're kind of annoying me. We're just going to get rid of you and everything. The interesting thing was these women based their decision not off of what the secular king said. Right? I love it. Years ago, I was watching this. These politicians were on TV because we're coming up the voting and everything. And they were pulling out Romans, you know, scripture where it says that, you know, all and I thought it was funny because this congressman, he was obviously on the other side, but he's trying to use the Bible to manipulate people. He was talking about, well, you know, the Bible says that, you know, you're supposed to obey your government officials, and he pulled out Romans, and I thought, and I laughed out loud, first of all, because I'm like, oh, that's really convenient for you to say. But I also wanted to ask him, well, first of all, you probably don't remember this scripture, and you probably don't remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that disobeyed the government. And you also probably don't remember Daniel disobeying the government and saying, now you can, you know, stick it where the sun doesn't shine. I'm going to do what I want to do. And I'm going to do what God's going to tell me to do. And you can take a flying leap. And also Esther. And you look at on and on and on how people disobeyed the government and they did what God said. I don't worship the government. I worship God. I worship Jesus. And I don't have to do these things. And how you'll end up in jail. Really? I think it's going to come to a time if we don't do what God says, we may end up in jail. We're looking at other countries that are doing that too, right? So again, where are we going to base our faith off of? Are we going to obey what the Word says? Or are we going to cower? Because I guarantee you, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that furnace, you know, when the guys are opening the door and they get torched, that's scary, yeah. You know? And then all of a sudden, the king, and then we see kind of a revival. You know, we get to see Nebuchadnezzar was sitting there going, whoa, okay, that's the true God, right? Then we see Daniel that, you know, God delivered him from the lions. And then what happened? The king said, King Darius said, Daniel serves the true God, right? It gives God an opportunity to prove himself when we submit to him. Well, you're just rebellious. No, I'm not. I'm submitting myself to God. Again, as Christians, like we read earlier, we are not our own. We are bought with a price. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. So again, as we're going into these things, as we're looking at some of these topics, we're going to talk more about it in the next few weeks to come as we're leading up to these things. But too many Christians are like, well, I don't like this person because of this, and I don't like this person because of this, and I don't like their person, and I don't like this. You know what? What does the word say about the subjects and who supports what? Because too many Christians, when they're you know, talking about, well, I don't, and a lot of Christians today, well, I don't feel like this. Well, I don't feel, this person makes me feel this way. You know how many bosses I had that made me feel like garbage? I had a high school coach one time, and he'd always have a big old tobacco, and he'd just, Ansel, blah, blah, blah. And he'd throw a few swear words at me and everything, and we'd just butt heads sometimes, right? How many times we've in life, and all of us here, you know, we've come across people that, you know, and that's what the Bible talks about, iron sharpens iron. People in the church sometimes, I've had people too where Adrian and I just got married, and we're in the church, and it was like, it took everything I had in my flesh sometimes. There are just people in the church that just rub me the wrong way. And you're all probably thinking, yeah, Pastor, you're one of them. I'm kidding. But it's one of those things where as we go, you know, my prayer is just that as we go and moving forward, and not just that, but in the days to come, that we really consider ourselves and say, okay, and I'm challenged on myself here, so I'm not just, but to really come down and say, okay, what is it that God you're wanting to do? And that's something that we've been praying for before church in our prayer time, and even my own prayer time is just praying for our nation, right? Because if we look at, and we'll close with this scripture, I get like 12 closings, by the way. So, I'm kidding. Matthew chapter 9, this is wonderful scripture. We always kind of rattle it off. Matthew chapter 6. But we rattle this off very religiously, but if we look at this scripture, and it still rings true today. Yes, it's in the Gospels, and yes, it's, you know, Jesus is in Old Testament at this time, because he hasn't died on the cross yet, he hasn't been risen yet. But this prayer is still powerful. It's called the Lord's Prayer. Most of us know it, but it says, verse 8, Jesus is speaking, therefore, like unto them, for your Father knows what things that you need of before you ask. That doesn't give us a cop-out to just go, oh, okay, well, God knows, so he's going to take care of it. But verse 9, it says after that, our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Here we go. Your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. So what are we as believers? We're praying down God's will into this earth. We need God's will on this earth. I believe at the end times, we're going to have a revival. We're going to have an awakening like never before. I believe the devil is fighting right now, tooth and nail, to try to stop things. But I'm just saying this, number one, God won't be outdone, and number two, God's plan will come to pass. But we have to connect and with align with his will. But we can pray two things. We can pray right here that his will is going to be manifested on earth as it is in heaven. So we can pray down his plan from heaven on this earth. And then also we look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, and Jesus said, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, what? That he will send forth laborers into his harvest. What does that mean? We need other believers and other people to mature so that they can go in to the harvest and pull people into the kingdom. Amen. Father, we just thank you so much for these precious people here tonight. Lord, that it's your will, not our will, but your will being done, not in our lives, not just into the election, Lord, and praying for our nation, but also in our lives, we begin to follow you like never before, Lord. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Also, too, you know, if you need prayer for anything, we want to pray for you afterwards, or if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, we want to pray with you as well. Amen. Well, have a great week, everybody.